a lesson on healing, Jesus would often ask people, do you want to be made well? Have you ever seen that reading the Gospels? You go, well, what do you want me to do for you? I'm like, well, it's clear. This woman's bent over. After 17 years, woman, thou art loose from your infirmities. Blind man, what is wrong with you? The young girl being raised from the dead. And what, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? And it dawned on me that I think, and again, this is the Eidelman commentary, but Jesus is asking, do you really want to change? Do you want to be made well? Do you really want what God has to offer? Do you want to be made well? Because talking to people, I've noticed that you can, talking, listening, say, okay, do you want to be made well? Well, yeah, as long as it doesn't involve usually obeying God's word is what usually it boils down to. Yeah, but I like, because we can get kind of this victim mentality and get stuck in this, no, I don't really want to be made well. I like this certain thing. And so that's why I think it's important. We must want to change. In order for change to take place, we must truly want to change. Say, Lord, this is not pleasing to you. This is not good. It doesn't line up with your scripture. I want to change. Very, very important step. What do you do when God doesn't heal on this side of heaven? Because it's challenging, isn't it? When God doesn't heal, we've got frailties. We've got things going on in our body. We've got brain chemistry and depression and all the, Lord, why aren't you healing? What's going on? Well, what do we do when God doesn't heal? Well, my first encouragement is this. You might be going through hell, but hold on to heaven. The battle is still up here. I mean, I don't think just quote scripture and everything will go away. But you can anchor yourself into the Word of God, into Scripture, and you can hold on to heaven as you're going through hell. Because God will comfort. God will bring mercy. He'll be there for you. But here's the three things I want to cover. And I haven't really done this in a whole sermon before. I've done bits and pieces here. But I want to talk about consequences. I want to talk about condition. And I want to talk about combat. So there's three areas, many times, in my opinion, looking at Scripture too, that prevent healing. In any area, you talk about physical healing, mental, whatever it is, God's not healing. Number one, consequences. This is not going to be popular, but there are consequences to our actions. Some things that are happening in our life, whether it's physically, mentally, spiritually, whatever, is the result of besetting sin. There's no way I can get around that. I mean, we might not be able to build a huge church based on that statement. But it's the truth that sin, there are consequences. Some pain, depression, suffering, anxiety, and so on is a result of our lifestyle choices. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. I mean, I'm not a Greek scholar, but pray for each other, confess. You're repenting and pray for each other so that you may be healed. I've seen people dealing with, they've had whatever it is, depression or fear, anxiety. I mean, just God feels like you're distant and you're just going through this darkness and come to find out they've been holding on to a lot of bitterness and anger and unforgiveness. I'm not going to let this go. I'm holding on to this. And when they confess it, they bring it to the light. It's like, Shane, I feel like a truck is off my back. I feel so at peace. So we can't minimize this area. What we sow, we reap. God is merciful, but there are often consequences. And you don't fight with God. You say what this man said to Jesus. God, Son of God, whoever, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. I repent. I don't want to suffer these consequences. I repent. Lord, heal me from this. Let me give you one example, maybe a few. Did any of you hear Family Life today, or do you listen to that with Dennis Rainey? There was a pastor on there, Tommy Nelson. He's on the board of Dallas Theological Seminary. I've listened to a lot of his sermons on the Song of Solomon. Very good teacher, very good expositor. But he was... he went through, I don't know what exactly they called it, a severe panic anxiety attack where his whole body shut down. He just had to give up ministry for 2 months. And as he were talking about on the program, I said, aha, I know what happened. Just listening. because he said he's running on 4 or 5 preaching sermons, or preaching a weekend. He's getting up at 5 a.m. to teach men at 6 a.m. He's got conferences around the country. I wonder if he's ever taken a day off. He hasn't. He said what happened is they couldn't narrow it down. Blood work was good. Everything was good. Finally went to somebody who identified that he was running at 100 miles an hour for 30 years. And it's good when you need to run from a lion, right? That's why God gave us fight and flight, cortisol is release, adrenaline. We're fight, flight, we're go, we're ready to go. But if you keep running on that like that, eventually the body's going to say enough. And you deplete your body of what I just mentioned, the dopamine, the serotonin, the pleasure and the relax. You get your body just shuts down, and he literally just shut down. But reflecting, that's why he never took a day off. He didn't balance his life and allow the body to repair itself. So that was a consequence of his lifestyle. He said you couldn't just quote scripture. The pain was still there. You couldn't just, get over it. The pain was still there. So he finally, after many tests, he realized that his body was consuming the serotonin. Quickly. So there's something they prescribed. I'm not sure what it was, a precursor or something that actually your body will eat it instead of your serotonin. So your serotonin naturally builds itself back up. And within 3 weeks, he just snapped out of it. He told his wife, I'm back. After 2 months of just, and now he says he does 70% less than what he used to. What does that tell you? See, that's a consequence. So we can't just say, well, God's not going to heal, or God, what's going on? It's a consequence. But also we can't rule out something like the serotonin. This is a very interesting topic, because on one side of the Christian community say, you should never take anything. You should mention serotonin. Yet they're going in, they're getting their beta blockers and their blood thinner and their insulin shot. But they're not going to say anything about the mental stuff, right? And then you have the other side. It's like, I just need Xanax today. I need some Valium. And would you pick up some, whatever. It's all about the drugs and keeping. So the balance is seeking God first and seeing what is he. I mean, if he's created something that'll help get the body chemistry back on track, that can be a good thing if it's not abused. Because all serotonin is a relaxing hormone. It's actually, if I had time, I could take you to neurotransmitters and how they work in the body and the mind. The mind is like springs. If you keep pushing down the spring, it's going to come back up. And that's why they call it mood swings or brain chemistry. You mess up your brain chemistry. And then when you come off of these drugs after many years, you hit hellish withdrawals. Why? Because now you're messing up again the trans. So God, to me, we are so fearfully and wonderfully made that's incredible. But he needed something like this to help him. And it's what I always say, you run to God first. Run to him first. And then allow him to maybe uncover certain things. And also, this is just a side note. What I mean by running to him first is a lot of time I think we run to the medical industry. And I mean, mother-in-law's a nurse. I mean, I love nurses. We have nurses. I mean, we thank God for them. But sometimes doctors love to prescribe instead of prevent. In other words, here, just take this. This will help. Well, no, that's not going to help long term. Then I'm going to have to come off of this. And then you'll put me on this. And I got to come off of that. You're getting to the root. It just happened this week. I went in because my back and different things to the doctor. They took my blood pressure. And the guy came and said, Shane, oh my Lord, you're 170 over 110. And he went, he's getting off the shelf these like 4 packs of beta blockers. And then he says, I'm going to write you a blood thinner, maybe Coumadin or something that thins your blood. So it's easy. And I said, she tested my blood pressure with a really small cuff. Can I get a normal large cuff that would probably be better for my size? He goes, she didn't use a big cuff? I'm like, no, not at all. He goes, Gabe came in here and she's like, shh. Oh, yeah, 130 over 88 or whatever. He's fine. I just went home. I almost went home with all this stuff. That could have killed me. And it's sad because something that could be good, you got to be careful. What do they want to give me for my back? Valium. Vicodin. I'm like, it's not that bad. Come on, guys. I mean, just not run to that. How about if it's just stress or needs to stretch out or just relax? But see, we always run to that, and that's not the answer. He's the answer. And then he may open doors to where a person might need something to get the edge off for a while. But then the problem is you use something to get the edge off. You're on it for 3 years. You come down, the withdrawals are hell. Then you take something else to get, and it's just we're drugged up and everything. He wanted to prescribe at least 3 or 4 different things. And so that's not the answer all the time. Many of the times it's not. So be careful. I almost walked out with all this stuff. Now they want an MRI on my back and bulging disc. I'm like, how can you see bulging discs from an X-ray? You know, you got to be careful making those kind of assessments. You know, and they just, you need to take this. We'll put you on this. Like, no. You know, there's also something called holistic, homeopathic. Those aren't weird New Age terms. It just means giving the body something that it was designed for. Like there's stuff that they'll give somebody who struggles with anxiety, GABA, gamma-aminobutyric acid, that helps a neurotransmitter that helps the body produce what it needs. That's why, interesting thing too, you talk to a psychologist, somebody with depression, go out and exercise. Work on fun things and fellowship. Get some sunlight. See, all these things, God created us to help in this area. Finally, brethren, whatever things are pure and honest and noble and right, meditate on these things. Not ISIS and Monsanto and the war against Christmas and the Second Amendment and all this stuff. We're just so engulfed in what's going on. And no wonder everybody's scared of everything. So we look at all this on Facebook and say, can I get some Xanax? Yeah, okay, here you go. And then 6 months later, how do I get off of this? I don't know. It's just, we have to be very careful in this area. So I said all that to say, there are consequences to our lifestyles, choices, to sin, that will sometimes result in physical ailments. I mean, there's just no way you can get around that. If somebody named Sapphira and Ananias and Sapphira, New Testament church, they lied about how much money they gave the church, and God said, done. Consequence of sin. David lost his little baby, 8 days old. If you've ever lost a child, fortunately I haven't, and I don't want to. But why was that? Because of Bathsheba, of adultery, the sin that followed. But then from that, David comes out and says, you're a merciful God, have mercy on me. Let me not fall into the hands of my enemies, but fall into the hands of my God. See, you always look back to him. Here's another example of consequences that I see a lot of people going to. And the reason this part's important, I've actually been working on a book for about 1.5 years. It's called Addiction, Controlling the Desires That Are Controlling You. And I just have a passion for people in this area, everything from sugar to caffeine, to pain meds, to any drug you can, anything that's addiction, how to help people. And as I'm studying, I something really came out that was amazing. That the reason that most people fall back into their addiction, you know, it does happen, right? Not everybody just stops. Weeks or months later, they call it a relapse. It's because they're often not prepared for the post-acute withdrawal syndrome. In other words, once you go off something, the first week is hell. You pray for heaven, but it's hell. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just give up coffee tomorrow. And go 3 days, and you'll experience hell real quick. Your anxiety, palpitations, panic attacks, everything. Just tells you how strong that is. But so they'll go off, they'll get through this week or two. Oh, man. So they go through the acute, what they call the acute withdrawals. That's over. Thank God everything's going good. And then, bam, the psychological withdrawals hit. Sometimes 2 weeks to 2 months later. So the person just coming off of heroin or crystal meth or Oxycontin, and they're like, what's this? They're getting anxiety and palpitations in their heart, arrhythmia, and heart's pounding, and they're anxious, they're fearful. They're like, I'm dying. You know, I'm going, and that's the most emergency rooms because of this. And people, I'm just saying, oh, you're having a panic attack. Go back, go see your regular doctor. And they're not understanding, so they go instead of to him, where do they go back to? The addictive substance that put them in that spot in the first place. They run back to what I need that relief. I need that hit. I need that shot. I need that snort. I need that drink. I need whatever. And they run back to it. That's what a relapse is. Most people don't relapse when they get up and they say, man, I love today. I'm going to church tonight. Everything's wonderful. They go back when all hell breaks loose. So they're not prepared for the psychological withdrawals because you've been messing up your brain chemistry for so many years. So after 2 months and everything starts to, you know, the brain's trying to adjust with everything again. You've been pouring in all these chemicals, all these things that aren't right. And it's just your brain's trying to readjust. And I've told this story before, I've told it again, and I'm not, you know, people get mad at me about it, but that's all right. I don't have a war on caffeine. I'm just saying it stinks. It's bad news. I went off of it once 4 or 5 years ago, and I had tremendous anxiety attacks. I went off of it again recently. Same thing. It's tremendous anxiety attacks, panic, and fear, your heart palpitating. It's like, what is this? Well, just go online and you look at the withdrawal symptoms. Irritability, anxiety, restlessness, insomnia, flu-like symptoms. Like, well, who would want that? Exactly. But that's what we do. So I'm praying, Lord, take this away. Take this away. He's like, well, I'll hold on to you, but you're going to go through this because it's the consequences of what I've been convicting you of for the last 12 years. And that's why I see when I see a little 12-year-old with a full throttle or monster drink, I cringe. Because you're at 160 to 200 milligrams of caffeine. I might have a Fetter, a Mahjong, and that's legalized speed. That's why they can't sleep or sit still. Is there any coincidence that attention deficit disorder and all this stuff is on the rise and 100 years ago nobody even heard of it? It's because we're not feeding our body what it needs. And I know these types of sermons upset people, and here's why, because you need to hear it. You need to hear it. I've seen a lot of damage happen because we're not taking care of this wonderful gift that God has given. And he's given us the means. Shane doesn't say anything about coffee or this or that. Well, it does say, I will not be, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the control of anything. So if anything you need every day, you have to have it. That's called an addiction. I know people have 2-3 beers at night every week. They cannot stop. That's an addiction. Medical would consider that an alcoholic. You're not going to lose your job, but you are addicted to that substance. You can't go a whole day without it. That's addiction. It's okay to say that because there's freedom. And when you try to break loose, all hell breaks loose. Because I also believe it's an inroad to the enemy. He's got us addicted. And when we try to stop that and focus on what God wants, he begins to come against us. That was example B. Example C is not spending time in God's Word so that healing takes place mentally and physically. See, I believe there are consequences to this too. If the average American prays 3 minutes a day, I can only imagine what the average American reads in their Bible a day. See, the mind is everything. The mind is how God created us, the seat of our emotions, the intellect, the will, who we are, is everything is controlled by the mind. That's why the enemy is going for your mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if there's no time for the Word of God, if we don't have time to sit in Psalms and let that refresh us, if we have no time to sit in the Old Testament to see what we ought not do, if we have no time to sit in the New Testament and get correct theology on the nature of God, the character of God, the sovereignty of God, and just sit and thank him and worship, you're not going to readjust the mind to the things of God. It's that simple. What's the old saying? It's very simple, but not easy. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by Facebook, by the media, by the renewing of your mind. So you may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Every day we're conformed. Do you realize if I get out of this and instead go on Drudge Report, Fox News, get home, let's watch, see what the Kardashians are doing. Let's go and watch. I need people give me new shows now, but you know, if that's all I'm, you think the Spirit of God is going to speak boldly through me? But good luck. I'll just come up. I've got a few good jokes. Here's something I learned. Here's a cute, cool story. And then everybody's like, lately spiritually empty. Because you have to fill your mind with the things of God to be healed mentally. Listen, I've heard of people just spending time in the Word of God that brought them to repentance, brought them to brokenness. And just, God, you begin to clear my mind, Now I'm thinking. Here's what happens. Don't ever forget this. Now you start to think like God. Have you ever thought about when you're reading His Word, when your thoughts are now you're thinking like God. Philippians 4, finally, brethren, whenever things are pure and noble and honest and upright, meditate on these things. Now I'm thinking like God, that I shouldn't be high, I should be low, I should be a servant of all. Now I'm thinking like God, that whoever humbles himself, God will show him grace. Now I'm thinking like God to reach out to the insignificant people because I'm spending time in His Word. You listen, this is the best discipline you can ever make is prayer and the Word of God. That's why it's the hardest. It's the hardest to do because it's that important. And I can't just come up here with 10 other things and let's try this. This is it. This, we're going back to the basics. That's the problem, really. Because people like, I read all these surveys. Here's what's wrong with the church. Here's why young adults are leaving. Here's why churches are dying because the Spirit of God is vanishing. Like John Wesley said, just be lit on fire with passion and people will come to see you burn. The passion of God's Word, being on fire for God and wanting Him to move. And I think people should come to church with the spirit of unexpecting certain things, the spirit of not expecting. Church is normal, that God's going to move in a powerful way. He's going to change. He's going to transform. Maybe we might not get out of here at 7. Where do we get out at 7:30? Because worship extended and people are broken before the Lord and He's moving. That's His church. God is not limited to an hour and a half service. Shane, do 5 songs, a 45-minute message, and end with 1 song. Good job. He's like, could you maybe spend 30 minutes in worship? Let me begin to break that prideful human heart, because pride doesn't leave easily. Pride comes in prideful and they leave prideful. They say, I already know all that stuff. He's not telling me anything I don't know. Everybody should want to learn. I went to visit a friend of mine who planted a church in East Palmdale, 70th East in R, in a home. You guys, if you know somebody live out there, I could recommend it's a Calvary Chapel. I told him afterwards, I said, that was a good, I learned a lot. He's like shocked, like Shane, you know, like I learned, because they're more, if you know Calvary Chapel, it's verse by, I mean, it's every little, I mean, he told me stuff about Mary and her sisters and by that he had no clue about. And I told him that was a good, I learned a lot. And I told my wife, I said, that was good. I mean, I learned what, but you normally a preacher going, yeah, turn to that passage. I read that passage 20 times. I know all about the tomb, all about the. But it was going there to learn. And I'm not. Don't use me as an example because I'm not perfect in this area. Sometimes I go to church, you know, and I'm, you know, what am I going to learn here? But you've got to get the heart in the right spot—a humble heart, a broken heart that's truly seeking God. Now, so we talked about consequences. Now, briefly, let me talk about condition. Some pain, depression, suffering, anxiety, all that is a result of the condition of the body. We live in a fallen world. We're not going to get answers that we want sometimes. I remember a few months ago, I went and prayed with a guy in the emergency room in a coma. I left there. Man, I feel pretty good. I think he's going to hopefully see him back in church again. And then I think we did the funeral here 2 weeks later. Another girl is over by, kind of by the mall. She was 14, I think. And they're asking for a pastor. I was not expecting this. But I went in there and she's 14. She's dying of cancer. I prayed for healing. God, oh, and I felt good leaving there. And I get a text. I think a vet texted me or somebody that she died. She's gone 2 or 3 days later. Like, what's going on here? Lord, you heal. But a lot of it sometimes is the condition, our fallen nature. We can't just tell God to heal whenever we want because then that means I'm God. And He's not. But that's not true. He's God. But there's also an element of faith because Jesus would go throughout the land He said, I could not do many works there because of their lack of faith. So faith to me is believing God, you can heal, you can do this, but even if you don't, I'm going to trust in you. The enemy's not going to use this to form a bitter heart in me and get negative and mean and nasty and angry. God, I'm going to use this for your glory. So sometimes it's the condition of the body. We live in a fallen world. That's why we have to have mercy on people. We need to start showing people mercy. This part cracks me up. The person on insulin chides the person on Xanax. The person on beta blockers chides the person on amoxicillin. If you don't know what that is, it's a penicillin. It's antibiotic. You gotta be careful with that too. Better. Well, I'm gonna get off on rabbit trails. But you don't want to be getting on these all the time because then your body becomes resistant. Sometimes you might say somebody's on strep throat. I've heard, oh, you don't need that. Just pray to God. Well, why are you taking an insulin shot? Well, that's different. Why is it different? Well, I don't know. Right. What's the difference there? The person addicted to 7 Diet Pepsis a day mocks the person who can't stop OxyContin. I talked to him. They say, oh, yeah, but this is different. It's no calorie. Well, there's something in it called aspartame, and your body doesn't know it's not no calories. Your body sees it as a fake sugar that's actually worse than sugar, and your body's going to start to now act to process it as if it was sugar. It's going to release extra hormones in order to deal with this no-calorie stuff. That's why people can't lose weight on these junky diets. Number one, the body can't use anything in that. I think it's called fenfluramine or something in the medical term, aspartame, caramel coloring, caffeine, and we just drink it. And we're like, okay, yeah, God's going to use this in a mighty way. No, he's not. These things, and they're addictive as well. So we have to be careful. And I love the Christian leaders. There's Christian leaders who chide everybody about everything. Oh, they just can't do this. Yeah, but you're 350 pounds and you can't stop eating too much. It's called gluttony. So see, mercy. You see, the whole point of saying that is this. Mercy. We're all strugglers. We're all struggling with something. Shane, you too? Yeah, I'm struggling. I'm hungry. I'm trying not to answer. I'm hungry. I'm struggling sometimes. I was really struggling today when the guy backed out to speak. I'm like, oh, man, I'm just going to relax at home. But I already had this done. It was already in my heart, so I was glad to come and do it and do it tomorrow as well. But just remember that there's the condition of the body on this side of heaven. We just can't. You'll drive yourself crazy if you try to pinpoint everything, because we always want to know why. Why am I going through this? Why am I doing this? And the last thing is combat. So there's consequences to our sins and to our choices. Sometimes it's just the condition of the body. I mean, many of you know young kids who have died at 4, 5, 6 from leukemia or cancer or, God forbid, asthma. It's terrible. It's just the condition of the body. But the third thing is combat. Some pain, depression, suffering, etc. is the result of spiritual attack. There's no way around this one. No way around this one. Jesus healed a lady bent over for 17 years. He didn't say your sciatic nerve is kind of messed up here and you kind of sleep wrong. And this is, he said, why should this daughter of Abraham be inflicted, tormented by the devil? And then he said those famous words, woman, thou art loosed from your infirmities. And she stood up. Why should this child being thrown in the fire continue to convulse? Jesus said, out of him. The man sitting in the tombs, living among the tombs, Jesus came. He said, what do we have to do with you? Jesus, we are legion. We are many. Jesus said, I don't care. Out of him. So there's, unless you believe that no longer applies, well, I don't. I mean, there's demonic influence and it's real. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You're not going to beat the devil with your 9mm. Okay? You're not going to beat the devil with putting extra locks on the door. The battle is spiritual. You pull down strongholds. You cast down arguments. If you look at the imagery there, that'd be a wonderful verse to teach on sometimes. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers of darkness, against rulers of this age. And it talks about casting down arguments. Like, what does that mean? Well, something that's going against God, you cast it down. You don't embrace it. You bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You say, that's not a right thought. That's a wrong thought. And if the devil's coming against you, that this breaks down and this is sick and this, who knows? You just, God, help me. God, help me. And you fight demonic realm. You fight it with prayer. You fight it with fasting. You fight it with the Spirit-filled life. If I'm going through something, you know what I probably do? I would fast, I would pray, and I would go visit all the hospital homes. And show mercy and be filled with the Spirit of God and get off my trip and count on my Christmas presents and start serving God. And the devil hates worship, he hates prayer, and he hates fasting because you're starving the flesh, the very thing he's using against you. That's how you fight the devil. Well, Shane, it's not working. Well, keep trying. What's the Bible say? Knock and it will be open to you. The strongest Christians in God's kingdom are also the strongest knockers. See, there's something we don't talk about anymore, perseverance. We don't talk about, I said a prayer for 3 minutes. When is the last time you spent an hour on your knees? That's how you pull down arguments and cast away things that are highly exalted, exalting themselves. You cast them down. In order to keep Paul humble, he was given a thorn in his flesh, a messenger of Satan. Well, somebody once asked me, well, Shane, what do you do if it's the consequences of sin? How do I know if it's a condition of my body? Or how do I know if it's a demonic attack? Good question, right? I'm going to give you a very, very good answer that works all the time. I cover all my bases. Lord, if this is a demonic attack, Satan has no power here. He's defeated on the cross. I'm not going to allow it in my home. I'm not going to allow it in my body. I'm claiming victory. I'm speaking it out. Go watch War Room. Watch what she did walking around that house. There's nothing wrong with that. That's too Pentecostal. No, I'm walking around my house saying, devil, you are not welcome here. You're not going to bury my 10-year-old at 17 because of a heroin overdose. You're not going to take my son and get him addicted to alcohol. You're not going to take my two daughters and get them raped. You have no control in this house. The demonic realm was crushed at the foot of the cross. I'm going to sit, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to worship. I don't care what I have to do. You have no power over me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You've been defeated. The lies are over. You've been defeated. That's it. That's one. The next one is, Lord, if there is any unclean thing in me, if there's iniquity I'm holding in my heart, if these things are happening because of the sins that I've done or something I'm doing, Lord, please show them to me. Reveal them to me. Like David said, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. I want to see the joy of my salvation return to me. Lord, I'm justifying. I'm blame shifting. I'm a sinner. I can sneakily do things. But you illuminate. Show me if what is happening is directly related to something I'm doing that I need to repent from. But Lord, if it's a condition of my body, I'm holding on to you. You're my anchor. You're everything. Listen, I felt anxiety and palpitations. My wife will tell you so bad that I thought I was going to die. Let's make plans for the church. I'm out of here tomorrow. And but I'm holding on to the rock. I'm holding on to him as I go down. Because the enemy, I don't know if that was, what was that from? Condition, this, demonic attack. I'm covering all bases. I think that's biblical. Because woe be to the man that says, no, I haven't done anything to cause this. Really? We just don't know. That's why God says, come to me. But he also says, whoever wants wisdom. Wisdom, ask. And I mean, there are so many things that God has showed me when I just asked, Lord, just show me. I mean, from ways to heal our kids from certain things when they were sick growing up to certain ailments. And You know, it's one of the reasons I get hooked up on this caffeine thing with coffee is because he's been showing me for probably 12 years. My wife will tell you. And what it does to me, it makes me irritable and anxious. And if we can just sum it up, a jerk. Right? Leave me alone. ADD, give me away, type A personalities. And you can't be a pastor and have those qualities. You know, it's not a good thing. You shouldn't even be a husband or father or mother. So he's showing me how what I'm doing to my body is hurting others. And he's convicting. It's a loving father. And I see people, so many people abusing different things. I mean, I could spend 20 minutes on sugar addiction that would make all of you get out here and squirm. And the foods we're consuming, that some of it has no nutritional value at all. The pesticides, the herbicides, the fungicides, everything, chemicals, all kinds of junk going against God's design. And here's the results. Childhood obesity is now an epidemic. Cancer, heart disease, number one killers. I mean, this is not rocket science. And it's so sad because it wasn't until I would see people in their 60s that would come to me and say, Shane, I got to make changes. Doctor doesn't give me much time. Why waste an entire life? So see, God lovingly warns and confronts and challenges. And it's still another page, but let me just read it. One of my favorite scriptures. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. So the whole series on hope is staying anchored to the anchor. He will keep the person whose mind is steadfast. Now this is interesting. He will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast. Well, all of us can say, I've been there and I'm not in perfect peace sometimes. That steadfast there is a word. It's keeping your mind back. It's going to drift, but it's back on God. You're steadfast. You're persevering. You're anchoring it. It's falling away, but you're going back. Lord, this isn't right, but I'm going back. You're keeping your mind steadfast on Him because you trust in God. And He will keep that person in perfect peace.